Hello, friends. Welcome inside, at least for me, Ben Garrett, the Riverland Roofing Studios. Riverland Roofing for all your roofing needs. 662-644-4297. Riverland Roofing powers everything we do here at Talking Champions and a lot of what we do at the Ole Miss Spirit. OMSpirit.com, affiliate of On Three. That's this QR code right beside my head. It's for the Ole Miss Spirit. It's where both I, Ben Garrett, and Zach Berry right there on your screen as well, at Zach underscore Berry on Twitter, at Spirit Ben on Twitter. That's where we are all day, every day, talking about Ole Miss sports. And we're not just talking about recruiting. We're not just talking about certain folks who can't keep their mouths or can't keep Ole Miss's name off their lips. No, we talk about everything. All you got to do is join us. If you scan this QR code, for $1, you can give us a shot for 5 days. We'd love to have you scan this QR code. If you wonder how you can help out me and Zach and Jake and Brad and everyone else, Sudo, you name it, this is how you can do it right now. QR code, scan it, join the Ole Miss Spirit, try us out, $1 for 5 days. Hey, Zach Berry, how are you?
All right, let's get into this UT Martin game tonight, 6 p.m. Is that what we're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Of
course.
I thought that's why we were podcasting.
You got your Ole Miss baseball Rebels in their final regular season midweek game against the Fighting Skyhawks of UT Martin. No, I don't think that's what most people are talking about today, Zach. Now, we covered a lot of what has been talked about over the last 2 days. And let's just be honest with it, what it is. Lane Kiffin runs his mouth in a Vanity Fair article, says things that he knew exactly what he was doing, picking the scabs. And then Steve Sarkisian comes out today and questions the academic standards of Ole Miss, almost as if this is a coordinated effort by bad faith actors who don't really love the rosters that they have or feel like they have to yell into the void if for no other reason than they're having folks that wear red and blue live rent-free in their heads, Zachary.
Yeah, I understand the Lane Kiffin thing because he is obviously not over the breakup. I'm also just really confused because – I've been hearing about how LSU is just different, but we're still trying to find recruiting advantages somehow. I don't understand that. But, yeah, the Sark thing was bizarre. I don't really understand what he's trying to – like, what his angle is here. Schools have credit requirements. Like, that's a very normal thing because you don't want – you know, a lot of universities have this in their requirements to graduate because I was talking to a former colleague who has worked at various universities and he kind of phrased it as like, you know, hey, they don't want random people to just go 3 years at one school and then just drop in, you know, at a place like Texas or Michigan or wherever, and then just get a degree from there. You know, you have to have like an X amount of credit hours at this institution to get the degree. Ole Miss has that. Texas has that. I mean, honestly, in this day and age, we can stop with the charade of student athletes and we can stop talking about GPAs and how many credits you have. Look, it just sounds like to me, Sark, that you're not trying hard enough. You're not working the system, because if you're still dealing with credit hours, like, come on, man. And then, you know, I've seen these people do these NIL breakdowns of rosters. And look, Sark, if you can't get it done this year, bud, you know, maybe you do need to try to find somewhere that has some basket weaving to do. But yeah, the Lane Kiffin stuff is just so tired. I hate to keep talking about it, but we have to do it because I mean, there's literally nothing else to talk about here. I mean, it's May 12th. We're going to talk about recruiting because Ole Miss is doing a really good job in recruiting right now. They only have 9 commits, but they've got 5 4-stars and they're trending for some more. We'll talk about that, I'm sure. But first of all, the guy, Chris Smith from Vanity Fair, went on Paul Feinbaum and said that Kiffin just gave him the quote unprompted. He never even asked about if there were any issues with, racism or race relations or whatever. Kiffin just came out and said it to him. So, you know, here's your sign right here. It's just, it's so tired. And then he tries to circle back and say, well, I didn't mean to, I wasn't trying to be mean. Okay. You know, as I shoot your dog to death, I'm not being mean, but I'm going to kill your dog. I'm not being mean though. Like, yeah, of course you were doing this to try to knock Ole Miss down. I mean, I think this whole thing is orchestrated in a way to where he's trying to do whatever he can to knock Ole Miss back to where it was before he arrived, so he can claim that, well, Ole Miss is where they are just because of me. It wasn't anybody else. It was just me. And now that I'm gone, they can't recruit. They can't win. Yada, yada, yada. So it's pretty tired at this point. I've actually been kind of shocked, Ben, at the collective blowback from national media. There have been a lot of national media people that have kind of spoken up and kind of questioned why Lane would do this. That was shocking to me, if I'm being honest. I thought people either would just ignore it and just make little jokes or memes, but there's been a lot of people that have kind of called him out on it and just been like, you know, like, what are you doing? I mean, you got your $40 million roster. You're getting paid, you know, what, $91 million. You need to worry about winning games. You need to worry about beating Clemson. You know, you need to worry about Ole Miss week 3. You need to worry about Texas A&M week 4, because all these tweets and the little TikToks aren't going to be very cute when you're 1-3, and people are not going to be happy. And look, that's not just because this is an Ole Miss podcast. That's a very real possibility. You could lose to Clemson week 1. You could go to Oxford and get your pants pulled down in front of everybody and get embarrassed. And then right after that, you got Texas A&M. So it's not easy out the gate for Lane Kiffin in year 1. And then, you know, you're showing this quote here about how he was apologizing. There was another interview. I can't remember the guy's name, but he was doing an interview and like already laying the groundwork, talking about year 2 and year 3. No, dog, we're talking about year 1. We're talking about year 1. Like, it seems to me somebody's seen a little bit of spring practice and it might be trying to, you know, tamper the expectations a bit. And, you know, hey, that's fine. But you can't do that on one hand and then walk around beating your chest about, you know, the other direction. The guy can't quit it, man. I mean, it's a drug that he can't quit. I'm not trying to make light of substance abuse or anything like that. I'm just the drug I'm referring to is Twitter and like going viral. Like, he is obsessed with it. It's all about the soundbite and staying relevant and being in the limelight. Lane Kiffin has to be in the limelight at all times. And nobody, to my knowledge, I don't think so, because if they did, that I would call them foolish. Nobody is saying that Lane Kiffin's not a good football coach. He is a good football coach. But the fact that you have to keep going back and bringing up Ole Miss, I mean, I don't know how people at LSU aren't telling him, like, hey, man, like, stop. Talk about your team. Talk about how you're excited about how Jordan Seaton all of a sudden looks like a Dick's Sporting Goods mannequin. I mean, prop up your left tackle that's probably going to be a lottery pick. Talk about Sam Levitt and you know, try to get people excited about, hey, he's had a couple offseason surgeries, but he's going to be fine. He's going to be okay. Like, we're going to be good. You know, talk about that. I don't know. Talk about your freak tight end, Trayus Green. Like, that dude's a monster. I mean, do anything but what you're doing, because it's just – it's making you look silly, and, you know – it'll all turn around to where he'll say, oh, like, everybody's blowing this out of proportion. Like, you know, I didn't mean it. Like, no, you did, because you said it.
Crazy how that's always the defense.
It's, yeah.
Well, I didn't mean it that way. Then either one of two things are true. You have no discernment, which is problematic, or you know exactly what you're doing, but like in every other walk of your life, you're trying to escape any and all possible accountability for anything.
Yeah. He's, you know, I've heard it said many times on different shows and podcasts, and I've talked with friends, I've talked with you, and it's, he can never let things go. He always has to, whenever he leaves a place, it's like he has to burn it all down, or at least try to. And he's going to, every single bridge is going to be destroyed.
Every one of them.
He's going to blow up all the hard drives. He's going to change the locks, you know, all of that. I don't understand it. You know, I think most people have heard by now that Ole Miss people, when it got to that point where it was clear he was not going to stay, everybody was just kind of telling him like, hey, just go. Like, it's okay. Like, pat him on the head. Like, we know you want to go to LSU. It's all right, man. Like, just do it the right way. Be respectful. He can't do that. Mm-hmm. I think this is someone who really struggles with not only sharing the spotlight, but sharing, you know, credit, kudos, props. I mean, I thought things really shifted during the season when Trinidad Chambliss became this cheat code and Kewon Lacy was okay. Kewon Lacy might break the single season touchdown record. And then you had the emergence of Harrison Wallace III, Dejon Stribling, William Echols all of a sudden looks like Walter Nolan reincarnate. And like the defense is starting to turn the tide and play really well. And it was like, he couldn't stand that the team became the story and it wasn't him. And I think that that was a big part of it where he, in his eyes, it was frustrating because he wants it to be about Lane. He wants everybody to pat him on the back and say, man, Lane, you're killing it, man. And look, both things can be true. That's one thing. And I'm going on a rant here, and I'm sorry. I'll let you chime in. But people struggle with that, Ben. I feel like that's been the case for like the last like 6-7 years. Two things can be true at once. Lane Kiffin can be a really good coach, and then you can also have really good players. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, I saw somebody in the comments was like, well, you want Lane to prop up his players. He's never going to do that. It's bizarre. I don't get it, but that's just how I perceived it. Because, look, we did our live show for Hit That Line the night before the Egg Bowl. And all three of us, myself, Nick, or all four of us, Nick, Ben, Austin, and myself, we didn't know. It was still at that time, I was still saying, I don't know. I would lean he stays, but I don't know. And Pete has said in recent weeks in an interview, he didn't know either. So, like, he was in the building with him. And, like, it was just so back and forth. And I think once it got to where Keith Carter and Glenn Boyce told him no, and he didn't get what he wanted. And I'm very familiar with this, Ben. I have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old. This happens every day. When we don't get what we want, then we want to throw a fit. We want to pout. And that's what he did. And again, if you want to go to LSU, if you think it's a better job than Ole Miss, cool, man. That's your prerogative. Go do your thing. But to do this whole, like, Oxford and Ole Miss, and we had to deal with so much racial tension and recruiting was so hard. And I talked to, like, 5 former players ranging from, you know, 2-3 years ago to 10-12 years ago. None of them. And I talked to white players, black players, all of them. They were like, hey, I was in that locker room every day. Never heard of it. Never once heard of it. I talked to coaches, said the same thing. They were like, you know, we might have had 1 or 2 instances over the last 25 years of some parents that might have been a little reluctant, which is fair. I mean, look, there's no hiding some of the past from Ole Miss. But to try to say that in the year 2026 and to try to use that again, I've been told that it's just different in Baton Rouge, and you're still trying to find these advantages. It's just really tired, and it looks really desperate, and it's just pathetic. And I don't, for the life of me, I just don't understand why he can't just be a coach and enjoy his $91 million and, you know, his cool Air Force Ones that are on his bookshelf in his, you know, West Elm looking office.
It's just not who he is. It's just not who he is. It's really simple. It's not who he is.
He can't do it. He can't. Do it.
You touched on something very early on. I didn't know that, man. Zach came to play today, folks. Zach said, he said, I'm here. I'm here and I'm ready to go. I thought, well said. One thing that stuck out to me, I thought, was when you mentioned something that I've heard from other Ole Miss people in the building, people we respect, name it. But like, this is a similar refrain. And knowing what we know about Lane after covering him for 6 years, he did know my name. He still does. It's always going to be about Lane. He's never going to talk about his players and stuff. So get that out of the way. All right. If you want him to talk about Sam Levitt and Jordan Seaton and tell him how great they are, he's not going to. So when he does speak publicly, it's always in service to himself. And the fact that if you accept that fact, it's always about Lane when he's talking, then you can start to decipher what he really means. And what you said is something I have heard before already. He doesn't really like his roster. That's what this all tells me, because then he turns around. You see what Drell Poe had to say about it, and I hope to get Poe on the podcast soon, a good friend of the program, one of the greatest Ole Miss Rebels of all time. Lane had no problem selling Oxford to black athletes while stacking classes and winning games and cashing a $90 million contract off of our backs. Now Mississippi's too racist, man, please. He used black players to build himself up, then dipped in a playoff run. Tiger don't change stripes, which is just another way of saying you can't turn a hoe into a housewife. I want to make clear, you know, like, that's just another way of saying it, but the point is still the same. It wasn't a problem for 5.5 years. Like, he never had any conversations with Walker Jones about this issue. And we didn't have Miss Tracy Ivy Muhammad, Jared's mom, on to like counteract Lane or like to have immediate reaction against Lane and what he was saying. It was to say that, yes, we recognize what Ole Miss's past is. And Ole Miss has done so much to grow from that. It's like people want to stick Ole Miss in a box and leave it there. I've been really impressed with the overall sentiment from national media saying this is nonsense. This is below the pale or beyond the pale, even for Lane Kiffin. This is gross. Because do I think he was saying explicitly Ole Miss is racist? No. But when he speaks, he's in service to himself. And right now, Ole Miss is doing great in recruiting. The best classes put together, even when Lane was here, as far as high school talent, which does not reek of a place that is divisive and is intentionally separating. No, it has more to do with Lane's lying through his teeth because, one, he sees what we don't every day in practice. And to me, speaking Lane Kiffinese, he doesn't love his roster. And he's already talking about this in interviews. He said it recently in an interview with On Three. I can pull it back up and find it. But you nailed it. Like, he's already saying, well, in year two, year three, this isn't just a one-year build. Well, I hate to break it to you, friend. That's what you signed up for when you left the way you did. If you'd have just left peaceably and not made it all about what Ole Miss isn't and LSU is, if you'd have just said, I think LSU is a better job, point blank, and then moved on, Ole Miss fans said, we disagree and move on. But you're trying to invoke or pick at scabs just to advance your own agenda, which is you've got a lot of pressure on you now that you otherwise didn't want. You wanted all the smoke, but you don't want to stand in the kitchen? Nut up and accept what it is. Buddy, you're making $90 million. You're making 40, or you got a $40 million roster. Guess what? Ole Miss has about a $40 million roster too. And they're in playoff contention. So you talk all this stuff so you can set it up in a way that in year one, year two, you fall short. You can say, well, what me? I'm still great. Absolving yourself of any and all kinds of accountability, always playing the victim. Shut up and go coach games. And if you do that, it'll take care of itself, and you'll still get the constant adoration that you're constantly seeking. Otherwise, there's no point to any of this other than to say Ole Miss is living rent-free. Steve Sarkisian, he's feeling the pressure too. Ole Miss is easy to punch down on right now because they think that Ole Miss is beneath them. What really bothers them, though, is they know, and the harsh reality is that Ole Miss is right there with them. if not doing better and showing that they don't need cult of personality. Ole Miss has built an operation. Now you want to question the operation? You really want to go down the rabbit hole of academic standards, Sark? You clown. Make the playoffs, and then you can talk about anything. It's disingenuous at best, and it's downright slanderous in a way, and it worse. You know, like, this is all seems coordinated for it to all come out at one time. It's like they're like, well, no, this we don't want you to sit with us. You know what I mean? You can't sit with us.
As my good buddy Bunky Perkins said, I'm not about to hear academic criticisms from somebody who majored in sociology.
Yeah. C. Rogers, what do you make, our resident LSU fan that can't help but get into our chat? What do you make of Stephen A. saying Lane didn't lie? We didn't say Lane is lying about Ole Miss's or Mississippi in a complicated past. We're saying he's not having a good faith argument. He's only wanting to pick at scabs in order to further his own agenda. Pay attention. Keep up here, okay? This isn't very hard to follow. Stephen A. Smith came down here, and he went on the next day at ESPN and talked about how wonderful Ole Miss is, because what Ole Miss is today is not what Ole Miss was years ago. That is being invoked here in service to a person who's only in service to himself. So what do I make of it? I agree. Ole Miss, Mississippi has a complicated history. Pull the stake from your own eye, though, LSU fan. You know that the Louisiana Tigers are based off of an infantry unit, like a ruthless infantry unit in the Civil War. Like, you don't want to go down this road. Like, this is – I want to celebrate how far Ole Miss has come, and y'all don't like it. That they've found a seat at the table and are now a contemporary with you. You want to treat them like you always treat them, which is beneath you. So now you're taking low blow shots, not having a good faith argument. No one's arguing about the past of Mississippi. No one's saying that. What we are saying is Lane's not using that in good faith. He's using that to smear Ole Miss. That's what he does to advance himself, because that's who he is. So what do I make of it? What I say is stop LARPing for this millionaire. Stop being lap dogs for a millionaire. If I were you, I would be frustrated that he can't stop talking about his ex. We don't want to talk about him. We weren't going to talk about him. But we have to, because all he continues to talk about is his ex.
Obviously the nickname. I mean, I thought everybody knew that. I thought that was old news. But then, you know, not to mention you've got Landry doing what he's doing politically to, you know, shift demographics in a political race. I mean, the timing could not be any worse for him to do this while that's going on. Then a local TV station releases that they might be moving statues. Like, man, like, just coach. Yeah. Just coach ball. Like, just you gotta log off, man. Like, just take
we all could do better to log off. Like, I need to log off more. You know, we all need to log off a little bit more. And it would help if Lane would absolutely log off. But yeah, it's glass houses, dude. Like, we all got a shitty history down here. Ole Miss is trying to move past it. What are y'all trying to do if not invoke it in a bad faith manner in which to smear and to divide again? Ole Miss is a great place. Have you been to Oxford, Mississippi lately? That just drives me crazy, dude. It's like y'all want to put places and people in boxes and leave them there and punish them for all eternity for things like I am not interested in Confederate monuments. I want them all taken down for all I give a shit. Like, I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, I never waved a Colonel Red or a Battle M flag. I didn't like it. I didn't do those things. There is an Ole Miss that is more of an advocate and friend now than there's ever been, and yet y'all want to say Ole Miss is a certain way? When y'all are only using and invoking these things in a way to generate the virality online that you think is necessary to build a program because of a roster that you think is short.
It just reeks of desperation. And again, I'm shocked nationally people are clowning him. People are dragging him.
Javon Campbell in the chat, 6249. Why won't anyone from the school speak up for Ole Miss? They have Javon Patterson, Dante Moncrief, Keith Carter, me. The media, yeah, Neil and Chase and Ben and Zach and Brad. And we're talking about it. That's what we're doing. Lane wants to be able to just say these things and frame things in a way he's never had anybody tell him, no, that's not right, and push back in any way.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, this is someone that's taken his ball and gone home over and over.
Mm.
Couldn't win the starting job at Fresno State. Quit. I'll just be a grad assistant. You know, I mean, it just every stop. I mean, this is the same guy that told Alshon Jeffrey that he was going to be pumping gas because he didn't pick Tennessee. Like,
what's so funny is that he proved Al Davis right.
Which is insane.
And the whole takeaway from the entire episode that really has stuck with me is the author of the Vanity Fair piece said it's hard to tell the difference. I'm not quoting verbatim. This is summarized. If he's the most earnest and sincere person you've ever talked to, or he's completely full of crap. That's essentially what he said. That is Lane Kiffin. LSU fans, you're of course going to support him. He is your guy now. He hasn't lost a game he wasn't supposed to yet. Save this same energy when he continues to do these things, because he's all he's really doing is manipulating the algorithms online. He's a master of it.
All right, I found it. Here it is.
To bring down expectations. He knows what y'all expect of him, and he's terrified of it. That's my biggest takeaway. He's terrified of it.
It says, all right, quote, after 4 hours of talking with Kiffin, I'm stumped. Is he endearingly sincere or just full or so full of shit that it's an art form? Paul Feinbaum said, I first met him in 2009 and I can't decide either. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know why this is still a mystery at this point. I mean, he's proven time and time again who he is. I think he had a lot of people fooled. You know, he still did a lot of the same stuff, but I'd kind of thought like, oh, you know, maybe he's grown up a little bit, you know, maybe he'll be
same.
Set an example. He's got, you know,
he's really easy to deal with in person. All right. Let me explain that. Like
he's very different.
Completely non-threatening. He's just kind of like, he's like, he's floating everywhere he's going, you know? And then when he talks, like Ace of Spades in the chat, I think he's sincerely full of shit. That could be true too. But yeah, Sark's, we've touched on the Sark and the Kiffin stuff. Whatever. It's the fact that it's all coming out right now, you cannot convince me it's coincidental. It is obviously coordinated. Sark and Kiff are boys. They're both cut from the same cloth.
Castaways from the Saban tree, if you will. Look, honestly, throughout all of this, one of my biggest takeaways, or two big takeaways, is, man, Kiffin, you have got a special talent, because you have got Brandon Walker going to bat for Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm. Somebody put that in the chat. And I keep getting asked about the Bentley files. Guys, I have asked Ulysses Bentley to be on this podcast multiple times. He has declined so far. I'm not going to spread rumor and innuendo, but that is a real thing. There is real issues there, but until you can get parties to talk about it, I'm not going to speculate completely.
The
Ole Miss is no seat at the table. They've won nothing. See, Rogers, LSU hasn't won shit this decade. What are you talking about? Go away.
Since 2019,
I mean in the 2020s.
Since 2021, the three winningest teams in the SEC, Alabama, Georgia, and Ole Miss. Yes, we know LSU won a title in 2019, but we're talking about in the last 5-6 years. It's pretty
These are such disingenuous questions. C. Rogers is the LSU, resident LSU fan in the chat that you can never satisfy him. Ben, you're saying Ole Miss in the playoffs. Are you so sure? No, because the games have to be played. You see how stupid that question is? But if you're asking me to make my best judgment on paper, do I think Ole Miss is in a better position roster-wise to be a playoff contender or LSU? It's not even a contest, in my opinion. Unless you'd like to argue the other side of that, Rogers 4912, which is not even remotely arguable, in my opinion. If LSU was returning his quarterback and running back, both of which can have legitimate arguments to be Heisman candidates, we aren't even having these conversations. But because it's Ole Miss and he didn't take them with him.
Yeah. So that was my other takeaway is if I'm an LSU fan, I'm very concerned that he will not stop talking about Ole Miss and refuses to talk about his own team and getting ready to host Dabo Swinney and Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
Because.
Hey, if it's so dangerous up here in Mississippi and divided and terrible, and it's like a bastion of diversity in Louisiana, why did him and all the coaches send his kids to send their kids to private school down there? Why? Up here, they're at Oxford High.
Yeah.
Knox was the quarterback. It's almost like this is a bunch of, because in this world, whoever has the loudest, the biggest microphone and can yell the loudest can put out what the quote truth is to everybody. And then that's it. You know what I mean? Like there's no fighting against it. So why did you ignore him? There is no ignoring the biggest microphone in college football right now. There's no ignoring that, especially when he's calling your school and his fellow losers like Sark are calling your school lesser than and saying in way worse terms. You know what I mean? You can't let that become the truth because we know it's not true. And so we will yell the side that is the truth. I have said it openly and honestly over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Ole Miss in Mississippi, I have lived here my entire life and I have talked and will continue to talk about its problematic past. That is not what we're talking about here. We're talking about Lane Kiffin invoking that imagery and those terms and using the word segregation in a story, in a quote, when he sought it out for him. Like he sought out the author to say, use the word segregation. You cannot tell me. You cannot tell me. He's wanting to have a good faith conversation about this. And the fact that he tried to use LSU as this bastion of, diversity makes it all the more transparently, obviously dumb and bad faith and pathetic and small and gross. That's what we're saying. This is Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett at Spirit Ben on Twitter. He's Zach Berry at Zach_Berry. It's time to talk some recruiting, way past time to talk some recruiting. But before we do that, let's hear from some of our sponsors. This is Talk of Champions.
Homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
Rebels, your truck is here. Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Oxford presents the all-new Ram Rebel. It's Ram, the Rebel way. Send an unmistakable signal. Rebel, 24/7. Ram Rebel, from your friend in the car business. Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Oxford.
Come by, let's be friends.
I'm Warrior Philip Hearn. Raising my family here in Mississippi, I've tried to teach my kids to help others. I learned that from my parents. And as a Mississippi lawyer, I want to help you too. If you're hurt in a traffic accident, 18-wheeler wreck, or have insurance trouble, call 601-720-3541. That's my cell. You call, I'll answer. Let's get started. Make your first call to the Hearn Law Firm today.
Bye, babe. Let's get to work.
Advanced technology to accelerate business growth. There's more to see. Let's start my weekend.
C-Spire, customer inspired.
Ole Miss fans, a quick timeout, because I've actually been using Underdog during these NBA playoffs, and I'm not kidding. It's kind of become part of my nightly routine. I'm already sitting there watching games, flipping around, keeping up with everything. So now I'll jump on Underdog and make a couple of picks. It's easy. You're just picking higher or lower on player stats. Points, rebounds, assists, whatever you feel good about. Like this week, I'm riding a couple of playoff scores I trust for higher on points, maybe grabbing a big for rebounds. Nothing crazy, just going with what I'm already seeing. And that's what I like about it. Underdog doesn't feel forced. It just fits into what I'm already doing. So download the Underdog app today. Use my promo code CHAMPIONS for Talk of Champions to score $50 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code CHAMPIONS. Underdog. Make picks. Win money.
Must be 18 years or older to play. 19 plus in Alabama and Nebraska. 19 plus in Colorado for some games. 21 plus in Arizona, Massachusetts, and Virginia. And present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-MY-RESET or 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP, 1-800-639-8783, or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. In New York, call the 247-HOPE-LINE at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
Ole Miss fans, look, I know we're all locked in on the Rebels. Spring football just ended, the portal, recruiting, all of that. But when the NBA playoffs hit, I've got a game on somewhere. And the best way to get in on all the action is by playing on Underdog Fantasy. In my experience, it works because it doesn't take a ton of time. You just pick higher or lower on stats, and you're in. I usually keep it simple. Star guys. LeBron James, Jason Tatum, Luka Doncic. Whoever's on. No overthinking it. No spreadsheets. Just something to make the games a little more interesting. While I'm half watching, half working, I'll throw together a couple of picks while I'm also refreshing recruiting updates, just like the rest of y'all. So join me. Download the Underdog app today and use my promo code CHAMPIONS for Talk of Champions. CHAMPIONS to score $50 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code CHAMPIONS. Underdog, make picks, win money.
Must be 18 years or older to play. 19 plus in Alabama and Nebraska, 19 plus in Colorado for some games, 21 plus in Arizona, Massachusetts, and Virginia, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-MY-RESET or 1-800-GAMBLER, or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP, 1-800-639-8783, or text NEXT-STEP to 53342. In New York, call the 247-HOPE-LINE at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY, or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
Our thanks to C Spire, to Alan Samuels, Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford, Game Day Haircuts of Oxford, the Hearn Law Firm, College Corner, Riverland Roofing, of course, 662-644-4297. B&A Bank, call them today for all your banking needs, 662-534-8171. Online at bnabank.com. Tannehill Carmen PLLC has served Oxford for 20 years. Contact them today for your legal needs, 662-200-8734. And, of course, Drew Moak of USA Benefits Group. If you have health insurance questions, concerns, needs, Drew Moak is the person to call at 601-953-8449. 601-953-8449. Online at quoteswithdrew.com. All the Lane and Sark stuff in the past now. 30 more minutes here on Talk of Champions to just talk some recruiting. Zach, our recruiting expert at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, definitive on three. This QR code right beside my head, if you're a new member or want to try us out, you can do so today for $1. Scan this QR code. Try us out. Sign up $1 for 5 days, and then it flips to an annual. But give us a shot. We're here all day, every day, not just on Talk of Champions for an hour at a time. Zach talks all about recruiting there, and now we talk all about recruiting here. What is the biggest, most pressing update that Ole Miss fans need to know about Ole Miss recruiting right this second, Zach?
I just wrote about it on our website. Not going to give away too much, but I think Ole Miss is in a really good spot for three blue chip prospects. As we're already halfway through the month of May. I think the end of this month, and then as we get into June, you're going to see a lot of official visits, a lot of very important OVs being taken to Oxford. The three that I'm looking at right now, in terms of who Ole Miss is trending for the most, and who could potentially be next to commit, is Marvin Ngetsup. He's from Germany. He plays at St. Thomas More in Connecticut. He's an edge prospect. 6'7", probably about 270, 275, enormous kid. You can see, I posted a picture in the article of him standing next to DK Metcalf, and he makes DK look normal. He is a massive, massive dude. He is being recruited by a lot of Power Four programs. Ole Miss has won Tennessee, Michigan, Georgia, Michigan State. He's already visited Tennessee and Michigan State. He will be at Michigan for an official in June. And then he has a OV scheduled for Ole Miss June 19th. His OV for Tennessee is next weekend, and then he will go to Michigan State after that. I think Ole Miss is in a really good spot right here with him. I haven't entered an RPM pick yet, but I think his relationship with Randall Joyner and, shocking, I know, he really likes Oxford. He likes the university. He likes the vibe around the locker room and the coaching staff. He's used that buzzword that a lot of guys are using, that's energy. He really likes the energy of the staff and the players. I think that he's someone that, I said he's from Germany. So he hasn't played football his entire life, but I think that he has a lot of raw potential that you could see somebody like Randall Joyner, get the paws on him and work with him with technique and get him right in a couple of years, and he could be a monster off the edge, because you can't teach the length, the wingspan, and he's got a pretty good get off for a guy that's super tall. And that it can be a hindrance at times for guys off the edge. If you stand up too tall, you're much, much bigger target to block. He can bend pretty well. He played at the U.S. All-American Bowl, and he kind of flashed in practice a little bit, going up against some of the best 26s and 27s. And I think that he's someone that you could sign and then turn around in a year or two, and he looked like a completely different person and be ready to play. The other two targets I think Ole Miss are in a really good spot for, Darryl Madison and Tavares Harrington, both from the Chicagoland area. Madison goes to Morgan Park, and Harrington goes to Mount Carmel. Michigan is going to be the biggest competitor for Harrington. It was interesting. I saw last night, all within about 10, 15 minutes of each other, he received three RPM picks, Ben, three, to Michigan. But I talked to someone this morning about Tavares Harrington, and they said that he's been on the phone with Ole Miss, and sources around the program still feel pretty good about him. Madison, I think, is someone that's going to enter the 2027 commitment list here.
Yeah, let me just touch on those two particularly to back you up on these two and let you keep going. Darryl Madison, I fully expect him to end up in Ole Miss's commitment column sooner rather than later. He's a Michigan, soon to be flipped to Ole Miss, four-star according to the Rivals industry ranking, number 340 nationally, number 31 safety, number 15 recruit in Illinois. 247 has him as a four-star and the number 243 overall player in the country. And this is a player that I was told today is in the boat and to be looking for that sooner rather than later. And you mentioned Tavares Harrington. That's another one that they're working hard on. Ole Miss, I think Ole Miss is a little bit behind, but, man, they're working him hard. I think he wants it. Wants to come to Ole Miss. I think he wants to get in the boat, but they still got some work really to do to catch up on some others, to meet some things that haven't been satisfied yet. But both of those guys pressing, and I got information on them this morning. I think if you made me guess today, both of them end up as Ole Miss Rebels. But as of today, the only one I feel confident about is Darryl Madison.
Yeah, I got an RPM pick in for him to end up at Ole Miss. I think Steve Wiltfong has one as well, and I think there's possibly a couple others. These two guys I started hearing a little bit of buzz about around the same time I started hearing about Keyson Taylor being a commit, and the staff felt really good about Keyson. He eventually commits. It's pretty it's it's pretty impressive for Ole Miss to do this much work in the Midwest and to do this much work around Chicago.
It used to be such like a shocking thing. Like, remember when they got Laquon Treadwell from Chicago? That was like a fulcrum point, you know, as far as Ole Miss recruiting. And that's why this all this nonsense being spewed this week by opposing coaches like Lane Kiffin and Steve Sarkisian, it just doesn't hold up under any type of scrutiny. Like, Laquon was in the same class. He came from Chicago, the same class as Laramie and Rob. Chris Kiffin had Laramie sleep on his couch, for goodness sake. We defended Chris because of that. Does not sound like a place that is intentionally trying to be exclusionary. If anything, Ole Miss has gone above and beyond to move as far past all of that as possible. So, yeah, this used to be an abnormal thing. Ole Miss is a national recruiting brand. Now, Ole Miss is getting players from Illinois left and right, and it's not even it doesn't even, like, register with people the tangible sign of growth in recruiting and how far Ole Miss has come. That's why I get so frustrated by stuff like this week. Because look at what they're doing. If what you were saying was true, then explain how Jake Schoonover and Pete Golding and all these cats can go into Illinois and get these kids committed. I know what Keyshawn Taylor, who's from Illinois, said about his trip to Ole Miss and commitment to Ole Miss, because I sat down with him at Double Decker and he said, "This is the best place in the world. I'm never going to go anywhere else. Like, my only visit is going to be to Ole Miss," right? Yeah. I mean, let's stop pretending like Ole Miss hasn't grown beyond that problematic history. No one's denying the problematic history. We're saying that Lane Kiffin is not engaging in good faith, because when you look at the recruiting results, his bullshit does not hold water.
Yeah, well said. I think you're going to see potentially two, maybe three more from the Chicagoland area. Another one, I'm not close to the warm and fuzzies yet for Ole Miss, but Raheem Floyd is another one. He's from East St. Louis. He put Ole Miss in his top five. I think he's very high on Ole Miss. This is where we can also get to where it's kind of a numbers game too, because you're getting a lot of guys in that secondary. Going over to the offensive side of the ball, I feel really good about Ole Miss landing Alvin Mosley, four-star wide receiver from Texas, from Almeda Crawford High School. I talked to a really good buddy who covers recruiting and is in the state of Texas. And I asked him, I said, you know, hey, I've only seen highlights. I haven't seen him in person. You know, what do you think about him? And he just said, he's a dog. He's real deal. 6'2", probably plays around 180. Hell of a basketball player too. Almeda Crawford almost won the state championship this past year. Had a great year, led them in scoring. I think he led him in rebounding as well, but really gifted wide receiver. Go up, high point the football, out jump you, outrun you. I had somebody ask me, you know, is Sark mad about recruiting? Texas wanted Alvin Mosley pretty bad. Houston was in there as well. As you've got Willie Fritz is doing a hell of a job with the Cougars. But I expect Ole Miss to land a commitment from Alvin Mosley. He's announcing in June. I believe it's June 27th. But you turn the tape on, he's fun. Really explosive. And I think is the perfect fit for Ole Miss to play a little bit of inside and outside. But you can see in the highlights here, he can go up and get the football and, grab one off top of somebody's head. I know we've had some people ask in the chat and on the message board about in-state recruiting. I still feel like Ole Miss is in a really good spot with Caden Moss. I think that's the big one in-state that everybody's asking about. I know somebody also asked about Albert Simeon, who's from Louisiana, five-star offensive lineman. I think there's still a lot of work to be done there. He did take his OV to Ole Miss. I think there's no question he had a good time. As we say on this show, Ben, you know, OVs rarely go poorly. He brought his whole family. So you got Frank Wilson chipping in there, and then John Garrison and Terrence Metcalf and the rest of the assistants there on the offensive line are helping as well. I do think that you're going to see an uptick in recruiting here soon at the end of May and heading into June. I think there's going to be some commitments going Ole Miss's way. And there's some that I think, I wrote about the other day, like Miguel Whitley, He's from St. Augustine, Louisiana. You know, I think LSU is going to get him. But for Ole Miss to be in the conversation there is, it says a lot about how far the program has come to where, yeah, sure, you're not getting the commitment. You're finishing second or third, whatever. Nobody cares about that. But I think that speaks volumes to how there hasn't been a drop-off since Lane Kiffin left. I think that somebody like Albert Simeon coming and taking an OV and really giving you a hard look is something that's important, because as we know in the portal, you know, people make the joke, hey, you know, if you finish second, it can pay off in a year or two. I think you see that with somebody like Carius Kern or Deuce Knight, you know, those come back into play. Some of the more recent movement that we've seen, just kind of recapping, Taylen Mayo is a huge get. You know, LSU wanted him, Texas, Ohio State, pretty much a who's who list. He's somebody that I think is going to play a lot. Kind of reminds me, Ben, a little shout out to one of my favorites over the years, a little bit of Davison Igbinosin vibes with Taylen Mayo. Really long, effortless, can run in open field, can tackle. I think he is someone I think Ole Miss fans are going to need to get to know pretty quick here as I try to clear my throat. Yeah, people are asking about.
You've been talking like nonstop for like 20 minutes. You know, get you a good sip in. Taylen Mayo is ranked as a 4-star consensus Rivals industry ranking, 264 nationally, the number 31 cornerback, the number 39 prospect in Texas, good measurable, 6'3", 170. ESPN's highest on him, a 4-star prospect, according to everybody but Rivals alone, which is weird. 177, 22, and 30, according to ESPN, who has him ranked higher than anybody else. So a really good piece. And, yeah, like you said, Texas wanted this guy.
Yeah, absolutely. LSU did too, wanted him bad. He recently went down to Baton Rouge and met with Kiffin, met with the staff, Corey Raymond, everybody. He's another guy that I think – is going to have a chance to play early and often just because of the skill set, and he can run, he's long, you can put him out on an island. But you know, he does look a little lean, might need to hit the weight room, fill out the pants a little bit, but he'll still come up and strike you, which I think is crucial for a corner. You know, if you want to play
Nashawn Wright, you remember Nashawn Wright? He played a good year for the Bears this year in the NFL, but the Cowboys drafted him in like the third round. It was a little bit of reach at the time, but like you see the length, the measurables, like he has to add, he's very raw in what he can be, but you can see the projectability, right? Like you can see the ball skills, you can see how he attacks the ball in the air, and like he's physical now, but he's just physically he's got to catch up to where he, man, dude, look at that one. He smacked, for those that aren't watching, listen audio only, he just nailed it, dude, and knocked his helmet off.
It's hard, in my opinion. You either got it or you don't in the secondary in terms of being physical. It's kind of hard to teach. You know, that's effort. That's a lot of do you want to do it or do you not? But he's not afraid to come downhill. I like that one. Somebody asking about Easton Royal. Ole Miss did get a commitment from Mason Moore from Louisiana. He's really close with Easton Royal. And again, belaboring the point here, we've talked about it a lot, but I mean, Easton Royal keeps talking about Ole Miss, and that's all you can ask for at this point.
How dare you bring that up? Bring him up? A Texas commitment that's not committed to LSU, but he's from Brother Martin, and LSU has laid claim to him as a player that is destined for LSU. So the fact that he keeps bringing it up, how dare you, Zach? Remind people of that fact.
He is an absolute monster. He recently ran a 10.17 in the 100, which if you're not familiar with times in the 100, that's real damn fast. I have talked to people around Ole Miss that they have given him the green light that if he wants to go to Ole Miss, he can do track and football. He would have scholarships for both. He would have a spot on both rosters, which is something that not everybody can do. Not saying Texas or LSU won't, but I know Ole Miss will. That means a lot to Easton. He's a phenomenal track athlete, and I think he's probably a better football player, which is saying a lot because he's really damn good in track. he's kind of got a little bit of just little Ole Miss tie in here, a little Ole Miss comp. Not as tall, but reminds me a lot in phase in the open field and just kind of the mannerisms. Looks a lot like AJ Brown. Because he's 5'11", but he's pretty solid, 190, 200 pounds. Like, he's thick. AJ was pretty big coming out of high school. He was already built pretty well. Him and DK were pretty looked like creative players out there. But it's gonna be tough because people kind of forget that he's committed to Texas. Because everybody just kind of assumes he's gonna go to LSU or maybe Ole Miss can play the upset. But look, LSU and Ole Miss are gonna try. But for now, he's committed to Texas. But yeah, I mean, I think Ole Miss has got a hell of a shot. He really likes LaDainian Washington. He's known Frank Wilson pretty much his entire high school career. And obviously Pete Golding recruits Louisiana and knows him well. You got Patrick Carter, you got Dante Moncrief. The whole staff is recruiting Easton Royal. Illinois Reb 23. Good to see him in the chat as always. He's asking about DGG. I've kind of said my piece on David. I think you pay the man. I think this is a guy that's as close to a can't miss prospect as you can get. Which is that I'll go out on the limb and say that it's hard to, there are a lot of busts in recruiting. I've seen this kid live multiple times, so I feel pretty comfortable saying it. Barring injury, he's going to be an absolute freak at the next level. He is already lifting more than Derrick Henry was in high school. Just every bit of 200 pounds, 205, and can outrun you, can jump over you, can run through you. He is fun to watch. I'm excited. I'll be able to see him a couple times this year. I'll see him week one when him and Keegan Croucher take on Cruz Jenkins and Brentwood Academy. As far as does Ole Miss have a shot? Yeah, I think so. It's going to depend on how much everyone else is willing to go, or how far everyone's willing to go, I should say. Ohio State wants him bad. Tennessee wants him bad. Georgia's in it. I don't think Georgia's in it as much as Ole Miss and Tennessee are. I think Ohio State's the leader right now. I think Steve Wiltfong put a pick in for him to go to Ohio State. It was a while ago, I think, maybe like a month or two ago. The entire Ohio State staff went to see him last week. And then Tennessee obviously being so close. And Tennessee's shown over the years they're willing to pay. So this is one where do you want to allocate resources or do you want to try and go get, the next dude, the next Kewon Lacy? Sure, Ole Miss has a shot. But I think they're still behind Ohio State and Tennessee right now, narrowly behind, but they're still playing catch up. But sure, I think the ties to the school and the kid genuinely likes Ole Miss. He's been several times. He's really close with Shekhi Mills Knight. This isn't just some window dressing or a pity thing because of his friend. He really likes Ole Miss.
It's just going to be a tough pull, but as yeah. Kewon Lacy showed, like Ole Miss finished second for Kewon Lacy, and he was an Ole Miss Rebel a year later.
Yeah.
He set records for single season rushing touchdowns, all purpose. There is a benefit to finishing potentially second in big time recruitment. You don't want to. You want the right of first refusal, but there is a benefit to that. Deuce Knight, there's a reason why. I told y'all and got it from LSU fans back then too, said Deuce Knight's going to be an Ole Miss Rebel. Oh, here comes being the homer. What happened? There's a reason, because like if you finish second, there is something to that once the portal season comes around, especially if you have a need, the relationships that are already well built and established, and especially when it's speed dating on steroids, it makes for a little bit of a easier process. And those are just a couple of examples. Jaheim Otis is an Ole Miss Rebel this year because of long lasting relationships with Pete Golding. And he's got to prove it this year. It's poop or get off the pot for him.
Yeah.
And he knows that. So he's spending it with Pete Golding,
he got it across the finish line for Jaheim. Pop Isaacs let us down. We thought it was going to finally happen, but it didn't.
Yeah. Pop Isaacs. I did think that this was the year for Pop Isaacs. I did.
I think everybody did.
I did.
I thought, my man Trilly, Trilly Donovan. I asked him, and he was like, I think it's gonna happen. I think it's finally gonna happen for Ole Miss. And but yeah, I mean, people don't want to hear that in recruiting. I get it, but it pays off. Look, it didn't really work on the field, but you look at somebody like Deshaun Womack. It worked out for him. Ole Miss finished second.
And where is he now? He's back with his St. Francis Academy coach, my guy, Wayne Dorsey at Auburn. Same deal with Jaheim Otis at Ole Miss, meeting up and finally fulfilling the prophecy under Pete Golding. Same deal with Deshaun and Wayne. If Wayne can't get him right and can't get him producing, no one can.
Yeah.
And that's what we're saying. Like, there is some in this portal culture, you have to look at trends and trend lines. And for me, that's a very obvious one. All right. I want to answer a couple questions from the chat before we get out of here. There's been an LSU fan in the chat that I just want to help you with grammar. Accept the truth, but he spelled accept E-X-C-C-E-P-T. It's A-C-C-E-P-T. Accept. I accept. Just accept the truth. We have accepted the truth. Have you? Yes, we've acknowledged this multiple times. Lane did want to coach the team in the playoffs. You say Ole Miss got their feelings hurt because he wanted to take another job and Ole Miss forced the outcome. I think that is a very misguided view. If LSU, or let's say Lane was leaving LSU to go join Alabama, and he had 2 months with that roster to pre-portal, can't get your new guys in there, can't do like the holdover stuff or the new hires being the pre-portal facilitators like John David Baker. No, they're just in there with their team. So for all that time going deep into January, near January 25th, he'd have been in there before he goes to Alabama. Yeah, you think he's going to leave your roster alone? Are you insane? Tulane is a freaking CUSA school. Sunbelt, whatever. Of course John Sumrall can coach Tulane and go to Florida. He's only going to take like three people with him. Is this so hard for y'all to accept? A-C-C-E-P-T. You spelled accept the wrong way.
That whole thing of like, so Ole Miss was supposed to just let Lane coach.
He wanted his cake.
When he was going to leave. Too. No.
Yeah. No. That's not how the world works.
It's not how it works.
Go be the head coach at LSU. Like, just like Lane says, I hate the calendar. They need to change it. Everyone says, yeah, Ole Miss, dude, we agree with you. If you want to complain about the calendar, hands up. We're all right there with you. Yeah. Lane made the choice. It has nothing to do. Like, Ole Miss had to make its choice in the best interest of Ole Miss. Otherwise, more than four players would have followed Lane Kiffin at LSU. And by golly, he tried to get way more. Do you mean to prove to you? Do you mean to get Emmanuel Faulkner on the podcast? Gladly, I will. Emmanuel Faulkner was offered double the night before signing day to go to LSU under Lane. Not because he loved Emmanuel Faulkner, because he wanted to take everybody from Ole Miss's class. But relationships won out, because a lot of the coaches, including for him, John Garrison, who Lane tried to bring with him to LSU, stayed at Ole Miss. Are you starting to put it together now? You want to have a good faith discussion? Because where it'll lead you to is maybe, just maybe, the man who's been so full of shit his entire life is a little still full of shit right now, even though he's wearing purple and gold instead of red and blue, Tennessee orange. Stop LARPing. Stop black-dogging for millionaires.
You can't.
My gosh, it's okay to say, I'm glad we got Lane and y'all don't anymore. He's good. He's a good coach, and we want him to win. But also say, dude, stop talking about your ex. It has no bearing on a day. The only time you should be worried about Ole Miss is the week of September 19th, and yet you can't keep your name off. You can't keep their name off your lips. Why? For one of two reasons. Either you recognize as Lane, I better get out in front of this and temper expectations because I don't love the roster and I know what the expectations are. Or you're a dick. And neither one of them are particularly acceptable scenarios for anyone. So the best thing to do would be to shut up, coach ball, and win games like everybody thinks you can do. But he can't do it because he can't get out of his own way. This has been Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett, at Spirit Ben on Twitter. He's Zach Berry, at Zach _Berry. That QR code right above his head is for the Ole Miss Spirit. OMSpirit.com, an affiliate of On3. Sign up today for the low, low price of $1 for 5 days to try us out. New members, $1, 5 days, try us out. Then it flips to an annual sub, but give us a shot. We'd love to have you. This is what we do. We talk about Ole Miss sports all day, every day at the Ole Miss Spirit, OMSpirit.com. He's Zach Berry. Thank you for doing this, my friend. We'll do it again next week.
All right, buddy.
Man, the chat was popping.